Even I don't know the way, you know it. This makes the soul quiet and peaceful. For it is in vain that I sorrow. You know the way. You know the time. Your plan is already finished. I praise you for the power of love. I glorify the grace which saved me. You know from where the wind so stormy bloweth. You never come too late. Now I wait silently. In your word is no lie. You know the way for me, and this is sufficient. You know the way for me, and this is sufficient. We greet from this place tonight all brothers and sisters, all friends near and far, who you are joining us via the internet to hear God's word. May the Lord bless us together through the hearing of His word. Most certainly, we all have the hope and the wish that this corona situation is over very soon, and that we, as in an unusual way, can again gather again under the sound of His word. We trust in our Lord. May He do it. We are grateful for this opportunity via the internet to hear God's word also tonight. I read from the Holy Scripture a couple of verses from Psalms 33. And then Brother Schmidt will pray with us. And then Brother Frank will serve us with the word of God. I read from Psalms 33, and I start with verse 4. For the word of the Lord is right, and in all His works He is faithful. Verse 6. By the word of the Lord were the heavens made, and all the host of them by the breath of His mouth. Verse 9. For He spake, and it was done. He commanded, and it stood fast. Verse 11 and 12. The counsel of the Lord standeth forever. The thoughts of his heart to all generations. Blessed is the nation whose God is the Lord, and the people whom he has chosen for his own inheritance. Verse 20. Our soul waiteth for the Lord. He is our help and our shield. For our heart shall rejoice in him, because we have trusted in his holy name. Let thy mercy, O Lord, be upon us, according as we hope in thee. Praise and thanks for these wonderful words. For in your holy name we trust also tonight. We look to our Lord and we believe that he will make all things well. Amen. Praise and thanks be to our God for the grace, as we experienced it and as we mentioned, we cannot come again together, but nevertheless we are joined with one another by the grace of our God, through the opportunity which we all have to hear, to listen, and to experience. We always hear it at our homes, and we thank our God that for our time in which we are living, he has given us his word as the bread of life, as the heavenly manna, and we may partake of it. Praise and thanks be to our God. To him be the glory. As already mentioned, also for this opportunity, for all of us who we are far away from one another and yet still joined before the Lord. And we want to give him now the thanks and the glory to our God. Lord, I thank you for the grace and faithfulness, for the possibility which we have through your hand we received it. This wonderful holy word, we can hear it, O God. We may believe that you are still the same. You are reaching us all who love you and your appearing. Lord Jesus, we ask you also for this evening, for all who are listening, who are watching, bless from the riches of your grace, and let us praise you together. Lord, once again, thank you for all these opportunities. Amen. Yes, with all our hearts, we greet all of you in all peoples and tongues and nations. We are grateful to the Lord God, grateful with all our hearts for the opportunity to proclaim the holy and precious word of God to all of mankind. Right now, we heard from Brother Borg what is written in Psalms 33. Now just the remark I know Brother Bork since 65 years, and Brother Schmidt, I know him since 60 years. And we walked the way of the Lord together. Also through all the trials. And briefly, we will mention that the Lord God has a way with the church. But just briefly, referring to the situation which is now happening all over the earth. We have written it in the last circular letter. Whether the climate change, whether the global warming, whether pestilences, whether catastrophes, everything takes place worldwide. And we have now reached this period of time. And many can still remember it, that at the end of the last year, time and again, I said, the time is near. I want to say goodbye. As then, Simeon, in Luke chapter 2, when he held our Redeemer in his arms, he took him into his arms, praising the Lord, praising him. And then he said, now you lettest your servant depart in peace, for mine eyes have seen the salvation of God. Yesterday, I listened to a sermon of Brother Branham of November 1965. There he speaks about Job 42, and he emphasizes the verse of the hearsay. I knew everything for a long time, but now I see it with my own eyes. And then he spoke about that God has given us promises. And then comes the time, then comes the period of time in which we see the promises of God in its fulfillment. What happened in the last 3 or 4 months on the earth, it's really unique. And one has to be honest, and one has to admit, nothing will be anymore as it used to be before. Whether in the plane trafficking, in all the realms, in the economy, in all the areas, nothing will be anymore as it was once upon a time. But as Brother Bork just expressed, we hope that we can come again together to hear God's holy word. And we really believe that the social distancing has not to be kept anymore, that one has not to give their address and names if one partakes of a meeting. You all know that now the regulations all have to give their names, their addresses. This we don't want. All have to wear a mask. This we don't want in a service. All have to keep distance. This is not possible in a biblical church. I've said it here last Sunday. If one looks at the biblical order, If there is a child dedication or a marriage consecration, one cannot do it in a 2 meter distance. If there's a child dedication, one has to take the child into his arms. If there is a water baptism, of course both have to step into the water. Also our Lord was baptized in the River Jordan by John the Baptist. For us, the biblical church order is valid forever. And no law will change anything about it. And we trust that everything will be well again, as it is necessary, so that we can experience our last preparation by His grace. We all know what our Lord would say today at this place. When you see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. He would repeat everything what he foretold what would take place. And it's happening. Everything before our eyes. Yes, when you see that, that it's taking place, then you know that it is at the door. Dear brothers, dear sisters, precious friends, we are dealing here with a plan of salvation of our God. And own interpretations, private interpretations, we reject. As with the people of Israel, the promises were fulfilled and come to fulfillment. And as it is written, and the Lord Himself said, for my name's sake, ye shall be hated by all nations. We don't want to go here into history of Israel and in the Middle East and the nations who raise their voices now. But so much we all understand that all the 13 Orthodox churches in Israel are against the plans of the government. Publicly, they are opposing this plan. If the people would just take the Bible into their hands, then it would look very differently. Those who also raise their voices, let us don't look at them. But let us deal now with that. What is important now for the church in this time? It's really the most important period of time for the church of the New Testament. And as sure as at the first coming of Christ, all the promises were fulfilled, which were written in the Old Testament, which were foretold that it would take place, and not one single of them remained unfulfilled. All promises were fulfilled. Thanks be to the Lord for it. The main promise which was fulfilled before the first coming of our Lord is of course written in Isaiah 40 verse 3 and Malachi 3 verse 1. A voice crieth in the wilderness, prepare ye the way for the Lord. Make straight a street for our God. What is written in Isaiah 40 verse 3 became reality. One could hear it, one could read it, but now it could be seen and it could be heard. The same with Malachi chapter 3. Behold, I send my messenger before my face, who shall prepare the way before me. Firstly, a promise, and then one could see it with his own eyes, how this promise came to fulfillment. And one could hear what the man of God had to say and to proclaim. Then it was fulfilled in our Lord and Savior. Everything what belonged to the work of redemption. And now we are looking back to the Good Friday, to Easter, to the Ascension, to Pentecost. We are looking back to all these events. And we all know in our country these days are celebrated in a special way. They are the Easter Sunday. Easter Monday is added even. And once again on the day of Pentecost, Sunday Pentecost, and then Monday is added to it, so that all are reminded to that what happened at that time for us. And here is the point. Dear brothers and sisters and precious friends, it doesn't profit us at all to have Christian traditions to celebrate feasts or to remember that what happened once upon a time. It must happen with us because it happened for us. And as in the choir song, it was sung by of the faith, our Lord said it very clearly. He said, if you don't believe that I am He, then ye shall die in your sin. Amen. Finished. That was it. Whoever cannot believe God makes him a liar, whether silent or loud. This may not be. God is true. If you cannot believe, shut your mouth until God gives you grace that you can believe. In the same way, concerning the promise for our time. If you cannot believe what the Lord Himself said in the last chapter of the prophet Malachi, that He would send someone, an Elijah, before the day of the Lord, who will burn like an oven before the day where the sun turns into darkness and where the moon turns into blood. If you cannot believe this, that the Lord has given this promise at the end of the time of grace, at the end of the day of salvation, to send a man through whom He will speak personally, confirming His word, manifesting it. If you cannot believe this, be silent. Don't say anything about it. Wait until the Lord gives you grace. And then in the same way, with Matthew 17:11, after the wonderful experience on the Mount of Transfiguration, Moses was there, Elijah was there, and then the Lord came with His disciples down from the mountain, and the disciples asked Him, why did the prophet say, why did he say that Elijah should come first? Elijah was of course there with Moses on the Mount of Transfiguration, and nevertheless that Elijah would come. And what was the answer in verse 11? Elijah truly shall first come and restore all things. I say it once again. Whoever cannot believe should shut his mouth. And then comes the time that God opens our hearts, that all the resistance, all the opposition is taken out from us, and that we can believe and receive with all our hearts. Only he who can believe this biblical promise will believe what happened on the 11th of June 1933 in Jeffersonville, in the Ohio River, USA. It happened at the water baptism that the supernatural light descended, and Brother Branham was about to baptize the 17th person, visible for all who were present at the shore. And then out from this supernatural light came the mighty voice, as John the Baptist was sent to forerun the first coming of Christ. So you are sent with a message that will forerun the second coming of Christ. Brothers and sisters, whoever can believe the first promise will also be able to believe that the Lord God in a supernatural way gave testimony so that all who hear it are convinced that we are now very close before the return of Jesus Christ. And that we now bring the last message, the original message, as it is left to us in the Holy Scripture. That we just come out from all Babylonian confusion which is in Christendom, that we are taken out from it. Now just be honest now. Now we have 350 different Protestant churches and fellowships, but only one God, only one Savior, only one Bible, only one, always one. And with God, there's only one church, and this is the church of the firstborn, as we are told in Hebrews chapter 12. And let us say it with a deep pain. As then, when John the Baptist came on the scene, and the scribes and Pharisees and high priests all opposed the Lord. And that what John preached and what our Lord did and said, they all rejected it. And time and again they rejected and opposed. Brothers and sisters, in the same way it is now. Be honest now. Go from one to the other religion. Who is interested in what God is doing right now? All have their own programs. And all have their pre-written sermons. All know what is preached on according to Trinitatis on the first Sunday, on the third Sunday. All have their programs. But the redeemed church of the Lord, which is his own inheritance, today, I just want to read a couple of scriptures which show us what kind of meaning, what kind of significance the Redeemer as the firstborn has for the redeemed, which is the firstborn church. Just very mighty. He, the Savior, is the firstborn. And who we were born again to a living hope, we have received the birthright. And our names were written into the Lamb's book of life before the foundation of the world. Of our Lord and Savior, it's written already in the Old Testament and then also in the New Testament, foretold what would take place. And then how it took place. In Matthew, we read Matthew chapter 2, just verse 15, and was there until the death of Herod, that it might be fulfilled which was spoken of the Lord by the prophet, saying, out of Egypt have I called my son. And we all know what is written in Exodus 12. Let my firstborn son go, that he may serve me. In Hosea chapter 11, in verse 1, out of Egypt have I called, Hosea 11 verse 1. Was a child, then I loved him, called him my son out of Egypt. Psalms 89, in verse 27 and 28, it is written, the prophecy, Psalms 89, verse 27 and 28, 26, he shall cry unto me, thou art my Father, my God, and the rock of my salvation. Next verse, 27. Also I will make him my firstborn, higher than the kings of the earth. I will make him my firstborn. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. Romans chapter 8, verse 29. For whom he did foreknow, he also did predestinate to be conformed to the image of his Son. That he might be the firstborn among many brethren. Dear brothers and sisters, what a grace! He, the Lord of glory, who spoke everything into existence. And I say already today, if there's a tomorrow morning, we will briefly go into it. But we not only deal with the proclamation, but also with all the various teachings which came from overseas. And there they have found a sentence which Brother Branham made on the 15th of August in the sermon 15th August 1965. And here Brother Branham says, in reference to Colossians chapter 1, what is he? The firstborn of all creation. Before all, what is in heaven and on earth, whether it be visible or invisible, the Son of God was. Yes. And Brother Branham, as the prophet, as a prophet, he didn't say anything else. And now the brothers say, then the Son was already at the beginning of the creation. But the fact is that he who was at the beginning of creation, here's the mystery in Luke chapter 2 verse 11. For unto you is born today Christ the Lord in the city of David. Jesus Christ is the Lord, and he, the Lord who was at the beginning, became the firstborn. He was ordained to be the firstborn. How often we proclaimed here the plan of salvation. Let us read this scripture, and then we have to come to a close for today. But as written here, he should be the firstborn among many brethren. Psalms 22 verse 23, I will declare thy name unto my brethren. And then the Lord says, who are my sisters? Who are my brothers? All who do the will of God, these are my brothers and my sisters. Brothers and sisters, One cannot only take one sentence out of context. One just has to read on. And this I do now. Just quickly. From Colossians, chapter 1, verse 14 to 18. Listen closely now. And I may not forget to extend the greetings. All were sending greetings. Brother Etienne Genton extended greetings. Brother Tati from Brussels extended greetings. And he said, Brother Frank, do you still remember? Do you ever remember that I accompanied you in 38 countries on your missionary trips? Brother Müller from Germany, he phoned. Brother Baumgartner from Switzerland. Brother Nyagi from Nairobi. Brother Cecil Pretoria. From everywhere. And I hope that all brothers are not angry with me if I forget to mention them by name. We are, of course, all joined in the Lord. Once again, the beginning of Colossians 1, verse 14 to 18. In whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins. Or say amen worldwide. In him we have the redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of our sins. Who is the image of the invisible God. The image, the visible form of appearance. God is spirit, but he came from eternity. He came out from eternity into a visible shape of appearance. And this was the Lord, the image, the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. He's put as the firstborn over all the creation. Be honest, be honest. You and my birth, you and my eternal life, which we received. Here our Lord is shown to us as the firstborn of every creation. This was the most important in the plan of salvation of our God, that he not only had created sons, but begotten sons. And as a son comes forth from the Father by begetting, and that then he is a creation, so it took place with us. We received the seed of God, and the Spirit of God came upon us, and we were born again unto a living hope. We became sons and daughters of God. And our Lord and Savior, he is the firstborn among many brethren. Blessed and praised be his holy name. Then verse 16, for by him were all things created. The firstborn had nothing to do with creation. The creator had to do something with creation. The firstborn with the redemption. Let us read it once again. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things. And by him all things consist. And now it comes. And he is the head of the body, the church. And now we think of 1 Corinthians 12, verse 13. By one Spirit we are baptized into one body, whether church, whether body of the Lord, both belongs together. Once again, verse 18. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Blessed and praised be our Lord. We give him the place which he had as in the creation, the place which he had in the redemption, always there where he belongs. Also the firstborn from the dead. What has death to do with birth? But he, the firstborn, died for us and has taken away the power of death. And on the third day he rose as the victor of Calvary. To him be the glory. To him be the praise. I hope, dear brothers and sisters, that you understand my concern here, and that all brothers who are somehow pulled away, that they come to their sound mind again, and that they just give glory to the Lord, that they take all the scriptures which belong to one subject, not interpreting anything, but have the meaning by all the scriptures. For me, and this remains for all eternity, for me, there's only one thing, and this is God's holy word. And as we read in Psalms 89, as the promise, and I will make him the firstborn was born in Bethlehem. The firstborn was not before the beginning of the creation. There he was as Lord. But here we see him as the firstborn who died for all the firstborn, giving his life on the cross of Calvary. Let us thank our God that we can place everything scripturally, believing with all our hearts, and not just saying, oh, there it is like this, and there it was said like this. Time and again, I emphasized it. As in the Bible, so also in the sermons of Brother Branham. One has to read on and again reading on and listening what's all about to see it correctly. May God really use this day that all worldwide are blessed, are having respect before God and his holy word, and are recognizing and are believing by faith, accepting that Brother Branham was sent to show us the whole counsel of God, proclaiming it and that we find grace before God to recognize the day and the hour. Let us say it once again. Dear brothers and sisters, we are very close to the coming of the Lord. Really, so close. And as the sisters have sung, even I don't know the way, you know the way. Even I don't know the time, you know the time. But then we're coming back to the word. When you all see these things coming to pass, then lift up your heads, for your redemption is drawing near. Since 1933, so many years have come and gone. Since 1965, many years have passed. And we know 100% the return of the Lord is at the door. The last call, the last message goes forth now into all the world. And all are listening and hearing. And all have the possibility to believe. And as it was sung already, only believe, only believe. Only he who believes God's word and that what was promised, to him it will be revealed. Faith and obedience belong together. To our God be the glory for the finished work of redemption, for the great privilege that we received the birthright. And God willing, we will read a couple of scriptures about it still, so that it becomes a certainty for you. All who believe now what God has ordained for this period of time, promising, they confirmed that they received the birthright. And they can believe with all their hearts. And this I wish all who hear God's holy word now, in Jesus' holy name. Amen. Let us pray together. And then the sisters are singing us a song. Lord Almighty God, my heart is so full. Oh, how would I like to set forth everything, passing everything on, just as you revealed it by your Holy Spirit. Dear Lord, call the last ones out. Complete thy work and come soon. Yes, we may cry out, Maranatha. We believe that you will come in our time. Please, Lord, keep all in balance. Keep all in lockstep. Keep all sober, reasonable, that all remain normal in the spiritual and in the natural, experiencing their preparation. Once again, I thank you, dear Lord and Savior, that you as the firstborn became our Redeemer, so that all the redeemed receive the birthright. I thank you with all my heart for it. Blessed and praised be thy wonderful and holy name of Jesus. Amen. Everything what I have, everything what is precious to me, it was not mine anyhow. He has given it to me. Let me use it to illuminate my way. Be merciful to me. Be merciful to me, O Lord. Pull away the veil before me, so that I can see what you have done for me. Show me where I would be today. Show me that you received me. Remember, we are just people, forgetful and weak. Be merciful to us and watch over us. Nothing good I did. Jesus just received me. I'm not worthy of his love. It was my sin and my guilt which he bore. Yes, he loves me. I cannot understand it. Pull away the veil before me, so that I can see what you have done for me. Show me where I would be today. Show me that you received me. Remember, we are just people, forgetful and weak. Be merciful to us and watch over us. Looking up to you, I may now be confident, because you revealed your word unto me. Fill me with thy spirit and keep me faithful, for you love me, Lord, you love me. Pull away the veil before me, so that I can see what you have done for me. Show me where I would be today, and that you received me. Remember, we are just people, forgetful and weak. Be merciful to us and watch over us.
Vergesslich und schwach, sei uns gnädig, halt über uns wacht.
Let your spirit fall upon all of us, as in Jerusalem, in the upper room. Send the holy fire from heaven. In this time, send the fire. Let your spirit fall upon all of us now. Baptize us all with the holy fire.